Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's the Search Update.
All right, Eberflus been interviewed. Leslie Frazier's been interviewed. Eric Bieniemy's been interviewed. Anthony Weaver's going to interview in Jacksonville, which might be a bigger deal than you think. I'll lay out the case very shortly. And Tim Kelly apparently not going anywhere. Teams have requested to interview him, but according to Dan Graziano of ESPN, the Texans have said, hell no, Tim won't go.
Sports Radio 610. Breaking news. Powered by Radio.com Sports. Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Find out how far an extra mile really goes.
Tell me something good, baby. Tell me something good.
Well, I'm going to give you a Michael Irvin long pause. Hazel May from MLB Network. And
who?
Hazel May from MLB Network.
Sure, that's a real account.
Yes, it's got the check mark.
We already said that Springer was gone. So
yeah, we did. Yeah, we did. Hazel May from MLB Network reporting. Michael Brantley is in an agreement on a 3-year deal with the Toronto Blue Jays.
What?
Brantley gone.
What?
That hurt. Why does that hurt more than Springer?
Because we knew Springer was gone.
Maybe.
We knew Springer was gone. We knew that was going to be expensive. We knew that these grinky deals were going to pile up. But you let Michael F. and Brantley go?
You let Michael F. and Brantley go.
And he's like George Springer's best friend. He's like the guy that balances out George Springer.
Well, he's going to be doing that in north of the border.
Well, at least Yordan Alvarez can stay healthy.
Can he?
One of the best free agent signings that Jeff Luhnow ever made was Michael F. and Brantley. We were all over that opening day. I said, this guy is going to be the best non-Charlie Morton signing that Jeff Luhnow ever made. Michael F. and Brantley, a leader, should have been a champion. I think one of the most underrated plays in this era of Astros baseball was against the Yankees, the sliding double play, the non-traditional 7-3 double play against the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
Juice box erupts. And now Michael F. and Brantley. At least I got two hookups on that Canadian aspirin.
Yeah, you do.
So there is that. So George Springer was going to get me some of that Canadian aspirin, and now I guess that Michael F. and Brantley.
Best
the Blue Jays.
The best. The wording here for me is important. The best approach at the plate I've ever seen in a Houston uniform. His approach at the plate was...
He was a professional.
Calm, deliberate, smart. Great eye, knew where to swing to take the ball.
He never struck out.
Never struck out.
Soothing. He's just soothing.
Smooth. Calm. Yeah, he's just calm approach.
Consistent and smooth.
People talk about quiet hands, and people wonder, well, what are quiet hands? Watch Michael Brantley at the plate. Like his whole at bat, not a swing, not a highlight, but watch his at bat. His placement in the box, his approach, his calmness, his eye, his smarts. The cerebral approach of what pitch is coming next, et cetera. The best I've ever seen in an Astros uniform. And I've been covering the Astros, actually, before I came to Houston in the late 80s.
Michael F. and Brantley. This one hurts.
It does.
I anticipated Springer. This one hurts. Michael F. and Brantley, friend of In the Loop, with us no longer. Which means no Springer, no Brantley. I guess if you want to look on the bright side of things, Kyle Tucker had a very good year last year. He was one of the most productive guys. So it's just you, Tuck.
Big T, U-C-K.
Just you, Tuck. Let's take that next step. Kyle Tucker, going to be lonely out there, but it's all right. Michael Brantley.
Why isn't there anyone else out here?
We love you very much. I want to send a message real quick, courtesy of one of the best broadcasters of all time, to Michael Brantley and George Springer. Because I think the Astros are going to play the Blue Jays this year at the Juice Box. And I need those guys to do me a favor. So I'm going to have Chris Berman, the legend, basically just give them a hint on what I need Michael Brantley and George Springer to do for me.
For the Colts and Rams, I mean, the f***ing, right?
Awful.
I saw this on the schedule, Jets during the Christmas holiday. I took four deux at 6 o'clock knowing what this would be. You know what a deux is? It's Canadian aspirin with a little bit of codeine in it, you know, just enough to give you that pop. Two-two-twos, deux. I mean, you buy it over the counter up there, you can't here. It's like $10 up there, but it's like $100 prescription here. So you put it in all the corners of your suitcase. Do you have anything to declare? Oh, no. Eh? Duh. You always hope to have one Blue Jay game a year. You have those bottles, 250, you know, count of 222s? Yes, here they are. I'll take four of them. And they go, they always go, from the States, eh? Duh. You never take duh. The late percent codeine never hurt anybody.
Let me get some duh. Brantley Springer, I love you. When you come here, get your boy some duh.
Have you ever taken a duh?
Maybe not, maybe so.
Okay, you can tell us.
But Brantley and Springer.
For all we know, it was over the counter.
Hook me up with some duh.
I mean, I think we know better, but for all we know, it was over the counter. You ever taken a duh?
When you get here, Michael Brantley, when you get here, George Springer,
I'm going to
bring us some duh.
I'm going to go to an old adage, an old journalistic crutch, but it fits right here. If I had told you a year ago today that in 1 year out from Houston will be Jeff Luno, AJ Hinch, DeAndre Hopkins, Mike D'Antoni, Bill O'Brien, Daryl Morey, Roberto Osuna, Josh Reddick, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, George Springer, and Michael Brantley.
Springer wouldn't have surprised me. I've been expecting that for a few years, but
12
there's some shockers there.
Stars in a year.
There's some shockers there. I thought B.O.B. was going to outlive God.
Luno and Hinch.
That was a shocker.
Morey.
That was a shocker.
Harden, Westbrook.
Shocker. Not necessarily a shocker with Westbrook.
Springer, Brantley, Reddick, D'Antoni, Hopkins. This is in the span of a year since January of 2020.
You know what's kind of weird, though, about this? And this isn't, like, really that deep. This is more like more about the drip and the way guys look in their uniform. The guys who've left here don't look that weird in the uniform. Like, when Hakeem Olajuwon put on the Raptors uniform, it looked weird.
Yeah.
DeAndre Hopkins looks like he belongs in a Cardinals uniform. I think Springer's going to look nice in a Blue Jays
Harden
uniform.
Harden looks good.
Harden looks very good in Brooklyn.
Lost 30 pounds in 2 days.
What a diet.
State of the art.
What a diet by...
That looked like a BBL.
Most beloved guy in the NBA now.
Springer's going to look weird, dude.
I think he's going to look good.
No,
I think he's going to look nice.
It's going to look weird.
It's going to look nice. Boy, it is going to be it's already emotional watching the Toronto Blue Jays play.
Yeah.
Because they make me feel old as balls. Because they have Vladimir Guerrero Jr., they have Craig Biggio's son, and they have Dante Bichette's son.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to have to watch that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to watch George Springer and Michael Effin Brantley. I'm going to need some duh-duh-duhs when I watch the damn Blue Jays. So hook me up, Brantley. Hook me up, George Springer. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on
Houston Sports
Leader.
Man, that list.
Sports Radio 610. I'm starting to get very scared about what they're doing in Jacksonville with Urban Meyer.
Mm-hmm.
Urban Meyer is going to interview Anthony Weaver, the Texans defensive coordinator. And it looks like Anthony Weaver could actually end up being the defensive coordinator for Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
If you really dig into the mind of Urban Meyer and the fact that he wins everywhere he goes, the fact he's going to have Trevor Lawrence, the fact they have a lot of young talent on that roster, they have a lot of draft picks, they have a lot of salary cap space, I'm starting to think that Urban Meyer is going to have something special going on there. And let me just present you with some stuff, because a lot of times when we talk about the Texans' next head coach, we say, is this an offensive guy? Is this a defensive guy? Where's this guy's mind? What is he going to be? Eberflus, defense. Frazier, defense. Bieniemy, offense. Urban Meyer isn't an offensive coach.
Mm-hmm.
He isn't a defensive coach.
He's a coach.
He is just a coach.
Yeah.
And you think about him as an offensive guy, but listen to this guy talk defense. This is on the Fox Studios, the Fox College Football Studios show. This is Urban Meyer breaking down the keys to defense and what it takes for a defense to succeed.
You demand effort. You don't coach effort. You demand it. You either do it or you don't. Mm-hmm. You coach scheme. You coach technique. When you're playing man defense, there's not eye discipline that's necessary. They play something called quarters defense. So eye discipline and quarters defense is I'm blocked in on a certain offensive player. You have to discipline your eyes to watch and react to what that offensive player does.
Man.
The tendency of people, all of us watching TV or players on defense, they want to watch the quarterback, and you take your eyes off that player for a minute and you're late. So eye discipline is critical in quarters coverage, and this is their base coverage. When you hear quarters, you have four secondary players, a corner, safety, safety, and corner. Each one of those defenders have a quarter of the field. That's why we call it quarters. The number two or the safety, the boundary safety in this particular look is going to read number two. And that's, in this particular look, a tackle. If he blocks, you trigger now and you get an extra hat versus the run. If it was a pass set, he'd go into pass defense. He triggers, he hits us for no gain. That's all because of excellent eye discipline, and they hit him for no gain.
Boy, Anthony Weaver better bring his A game when it comes to interviewing with Urban Meyer. I don't think Clint Sterner can stand up if he's listening to that. He might have to let
He needs
it,
a moment.
He might have to let it unstiffen.
We got to get in our gaps. We got to do our job. We got to be disciplined.
Boy, Clint's
come on
excited
now.
Excited there. Clint is very excited.
We're talking about that pig skin.
Just give me a moment.
Just give me a moment.
Let me just sit here for a second.
Give me a moment. Let me hear that.
We got guys that don't want to be in their gap.
Now, the other thing about Urban Meyer that I think is fascinating, if you watch him in these studio shows. And we actually, I don't know how Figgy pulled this off. You are a sneaky SOB, dude. We got actual footage of Urban Meyer and Anthony Weaver's interview and some sound clips. Adam Schefter didn't get this. Ian Rappaport didn't get this. In the Loop got this.
Darn right.
So we'll play that for you in a sec. But just listen to this guy in the studio, Urban Meyer coaching. And if you don't think this guy needs to coach and he wants to coach, he's laying out the keys to defense. And he has Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart, and Brady Quinn looking at him and listening to his every
word. They know
a
little football.
Just listen to the way that Urban Meyer's laying out the three keys to defense, and he's summarizing them after he spoke on it for 6 minutes. And listen to the reaction he's getting from these three guys in the studio. You would think he has their attention almost like they're peewee or high school football
players. He does, because he did.
Listen to this. Listen to Urban Meyer coaching his ass off in the damn studio.
Number one, Reggie, is effort. Yeah. They're a great effort team. That's a signature of an Alex Grinch defense. Yeah. Number two, Matt, is tackling. They're one of the best tackling teams in the country right now. And number three, Brady, is eye discipline, and you can see it all over the field.
They're all just sitting there front and center and finishing his sentences.
Eye discipline.
I'm telling you, man, be worried about Urban Meyer. I put out a poll at Landry Locker on Twitter. How many wins do you think Urban Meyer has? Jags had one last year. I'm putting it over eight. If you told me the over-under was 7.5, I think the Jags are going to have at least a 7-win improvement. Much like the Texans when they went 2-14, the talent on the roster is there, just like it was when Bill O'Brien inherited that squad. There was a lot of talent on that roster. I won't go through it, but there was some talent. I think there's going to be a 7-8-win improvement, and I don't think it's going to be a fool's gold type improvement like Bill O'Brien. I think Urban Meyer's going to have them heading in the right direction.
Well,
maybe
I'm
drinking the Kool-Aid too much.
I don't think so, but let's go back to him talking about the defensive alignment and what every position in the secondary does when they're playing quarters. That is not a unique thing. If you follow football, if you've been around football, you know what?
Are you mansplaining to me?
No. What I'm saying is this. People know what quarters is defensively. You know, a lot of people do. It's how he explained it to the detail.
Yeah.
And with the options, if this happens, then this happens. Mm-hmm. If this happens, then you do this. Watch him do this because this happened. That is a guy who you consider more of an offense. Look, and a lot of coaches know both sides of the ball, but he is intensely loyal and all about the details. He really is like Clint Sterner's, you know,
he's ready.
Godfather.
Clint. Go easy out there. Pull over if you have to, my man.
We're going to talk about that pig skin.
Pull over if you have to, my man. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Don't know how you did it, Figgy. But coming up next, exclusive audio of Urban Meyer's interview with former Texans defensive coordinator Anthony Weaver. And Michael Irvin drops a bomb, kinda, on Jack Easterby next.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. On the text line, 713-572-4610, we're about to provide you with some exclusive audio of Anthony Weaver's interview with Urban Meyer. On the text line, 6114, how many college coaches have actually been successful in the NFL? I'm glad you asked that, because we hear that a lot when we talk about Urban Meyer. To me, if you're asking that question, you might as well be going to Blockbuster Video Friday night. Because the NFL game and the college game, right now as we sit, are more similar than they've ever been. This isn't 10 years ago when, you know, they were trying to fit square pegs into round holes, where quarterbacks in college that were dual threats weren't being used, where tempo wasn't used as much in the NFL as it was in college, where coaches weren't simplifying offenses to fit the skill sets of guys at the quarterback position as much. Mm-hmm. That whole mindset, comparing college coaches making the leap to the NFL, it's dated. It's very dated. It's almost like evaluating Deshaun Watson now as a quarterback compared to 20 years ago, when a guy like Deshaun Watson might not even had a chance to make it in the NFL. I think that's a very dated way of looking at things when we talk about Urban Meyer and the type of coach he can be in the NFL.
Here's how I would put it. If you don't think college coaches can make it in the NFL, first of all, you're wrong. I mean, you can go back there. Yeah, there's been some flops, just like there's been a lot of NFL guys that have been huge flops as head coaches. What's up, B.O.B.? But if you don't think that there's an influence from the college level and the game is completely different, have you not been watching Patrick Mahomes? Have you not been watching Deshaun Watson? The college game is now the NFL game. It is influencing the NFL more. Wouldn't you want to go to those college coaches to that well? Cliff Kingsbury, by the way, you know, seems to be doing some good things in Arizona. Well, I mean, you know, it's been mixed, but
offensively, yes.
Yes, offensively, yes. And so you can go back for every Steve Spurrier, every Nick Saban that went to the NFL. By the way, that's dated. There has been a Jimmy Johnson. You know, this happens, and especially now more than ever.
I mean, you're seeing RPOs, you're seeing zone reads, you're seeing all type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's what Urban Meyer thrives in. That's the type of stuff. He was one of the guys that was first running these RPOs and the zone reads and all that. So I think it's very dated to say, well, a college guy can't make it at the NFL level. But what about the defense? Mm-hmm. The defense is going to be something that Jacksonville, they have a lot of talent, young talent on that side of the rock, but it's going to be something that they're really going to have to work on, because they got some talent on offense. Defense, it's going to be more of a challenge. Could Urban Meyer be taking Anthony Weaver with him to Jacksonville to be the defensive coordinator? Weaver is interviewing with Urban Meyer for that position, and we've dug up some exclusive audio of Urban Meyer and Anthony Weaver's interview. I want you to tell me if you think Anthony Weaver did good for himself here, or if you think Anthony Weaver might be still looking for a job after this interview with Urban Meyer. Don't know how we dug this up, but that's just how we do it on In the Loop.
Number one is effort. You demand effort. You don't coach effort. You demand it. You either right. do it or you don't.
My guys play hard. They battle. They're doing the absolute best they can, and they leave everything they have on that football field to go out there and stone the run. And if that's ever questioned, then I'll resign. This narrative that's being painted like my guys are undisciplined and running around blocks, quite frankly, and to be put it bluntly, is bullshit.
Man, I don't know if that's the right approach from Anthony Weaver.
It sounds one and the same, doesn't it?
I don't know if that's the right approach from Anthony Weaver. Maybe Urban likes that fire. We will see. But Anthony Weaver, Urban Meyer sees something in him. I actually felt bad for Anthony Weaver last year, because I think the talent on the defense was the biggest problem with the Texans. I thought it was extremely neglected. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you.
Some would say the biggest problem for the Texans is Jack Easterby. Jack Easterby, since he got here in April of 2019, has been a polarizing figure. There have been stories. There have been reports. Deshaun Watson has kind of hinted that, you know, maybe he thinks he has more power than he does. There's been all kinds of stuff, all kinds of smoke with Jack Easterby. Michael Irvin joined Payne and Pendergast this morning and was asked about Jack Easterby. And he didn't say much, but he kind of said a lot.
Michael, when you had that conversation with DeAndre Hopkins and anybody else surrounding the Texans, at the time, the white-hot focus was on Bill O'Brien, right? Did you get a sense that there was more than just Bill O'Brien at that point?
Yes. Yeah, I didn't get a sense. That's kind of what they told me.
Did Jack Easterby's name come up?
Yes. I'm going to leave it at that.
Michael Irvin is never at a loss for words, but he was very, very careful with, man, that was a good second and a half, 2 second pause there.
I'm never going to forget the feeling I had when DeAndre Hopkins was traded, and I'm never going to forgive Jack Easterby and Bill O'Brien for being the guys in charge of personnel when that move was made. But I am going to kind of start taking what DeAndre Hopkins says at this point with a grain of salt, because with Bill O'Brien gone, it's kind of time to move on. And it's almost like, and I'm glad Nuke got his bread. Nuke's a legend. I would like to see Nuke's jersey up there by in the rafters with Andre Johnson.
You won't.
But it does almost kind of feel like, you know, a scorned lover still bashing their ex. I got to take what DeAndre says at this point with a grain of salt. Is that too much?
I think it is too much. I don't agree with you at all. Because keep in mind, this was not a conversation that happened yesterday. This was in the moment. You know, I'm sure Irvin and Hop and Irvin was very, you know, explicit about it and direct about, you know, the what happened and how they messed this thing up with D-Hop. That happened right after he was traded. And so if the point comes up, what was Jack Easterby's role here? How did you feel about Jack Easterby? Do you think he had any influence in it? There was clearly a message of yes. I mean, he said it after a long pause, like as if he wanted to say more. And I think we all want to say a lot more about Jack Easterby. The infection, the con man, has been here a long time.
Yeah. My question is, though, has his role changed? Because when Hopkins was here, Easterby was taken over for Brian Gain. He was taken over for Chris Olsen. He was clearly trying to establish himself as some sort of personnel guy. He sucked so bad at it that there was no choice but to move on from him because he was so awful. It's awful. Like, con man and all that aside, if I am to just judge Jack Easterby on the job he's done based on the tasks that we know he has, he's been awful. Personnel-wise, contract-wise, culture-wise, he's been awful. But what if his role is changing now? What if his role is changing? There have been reports that, you know, maybe more of a defined role would be something that the players want. Because I think whenever Cal McNair goes up there and he's broad about what Easterby does, it leaves the impression that he can just take over and pounce on anything at any given time. Because you don't have a specific role and you don't have specific things that he's supposed to do, if something happens in public relations or if something happens in business, Jack Easterby can just pounce on that. Mm-hmm. And when you have the reputation Easterby has, that's why I think it's important to have a defined role. The only thing that we do know based on what they've said, based on what Nick Caserio has said, is that he's not going to have a hand in personnel, which thank God. Thank God. I'll drop to my knees and say thank God he's not going to have a hand in personnel. But the role, I think, for someone like Easterby, it would be in the best interest of the organization to have it defined because he's looked at, and I don't know any other way to put it, he's looked at as an opportunist and a snake, and that's his reputation right now. So maybe a defined role would make people more comfortable in that building.
Well, we've heard today why I'm skeptical, and I think most people should be skeptical and are skeptical of Jack Easterby, even in this, quote, defined role. Joel Corey said agents around the league consider Cal McNair a soft touch, over his skis, is what he said. that's the opportunity that you talk about that an opportunist takes advantage of. There's the first part. The second part, let's go back a couple of weeks when we were listening to Nick Caserio talk about Jack Easterby and saying that he is going to be in personnel. If you're in personnel, that means you're going to be in the room with Nick Caserio. I don't care if you define roles or not. If a guy with that much power and that much trust, and Nick Caserio probably owes him for helping him come down here, if he's in the room, he's a problem. I'll just, as simple as that, Landry. I don't care what role you define it and how you define it. If Jack Easterby is in the room, he's a problem.
His presence is a problem. I would agree with you, and I think a lot of people would. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. A legend has left Houston, and a legend on this show has left as well. The hits are not lit. Next.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. Presented by United Rentals, the tools and equipment you need for any job. You're in the loop with Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
John McClain going to join us tomorrow. He was asked about the reports of Deshaun Watson wanting a trade. Here's what the general had to say this morning on Payne and Pendergast.
You were adamant when this whole thing started with the smoke from Deshaun's side that he's not going to get traded. I think you even tweeted, there's a better chance I become the Texans head coach than Deshaun Watson gets traded. Has the last 7 to 10 days changed at all your stance on that?
Absolutely not. What would have changed other than the media, national media and local, having him traded, even though he hadn't asked for a trade? He hasn't gone public with wanting to be traded. Just all these unnamed sources talking about he's gone, he'll never be back. And but no, I do not think he'd be traded under any circumstances.
Look, I don't think he's going to be traded. I don't think you think he's going to be traded. I keep going back to just, you know, how these things are developing. I mean, a lot of people in the league, whether it's players, coaches, media members who are plugged in, just seem to be indicating that Deshaun Watson is clearly, I think we can agree on this, not happy. Not happy with Cal McNair. Well, that's not a good place to be. You know, if you don't think a guy's going to get traded, if you don't want to get traded, it's not a good place to be if you're not happy with the owner. You know, so I don't think he's going to get traded, but they have to at minimum do some big repairing of the relationship.
Yeah, I don't think he's getting traded either, and we haven't heard him say that. But the one thing we have heard him say is that he wants Tim Kelly to stay. This was Deshaun with John McClain, who you're going to hear tomorrow at 10:30, talking about the offensive coordinator of the Houston Texans.
Deshaun, how much of your success was because of Tim Kelly, and would you like to see the new coach keep Tim?
Most definitely. I mean, Tim, over the past 2 years, I've really taken my game to a whole nother level. As far as just knowledge, reading defenses, understanding run points and run schemes, understanding the way of concepts and different situations. So his knowledge of just the game of football is very, very bright. And, you know, he really helped me take my game, especially this year, you know, the best football I've played in my career.
As the best player on the team, do you feel comfortable reaching out when the new coach is hired and putting in a good word for Kelly?
Most definitely. I've already done that, you know, to the ownership. You know, I had a call with Cal yesterday, and they know that. So I have all the respect and love for Tim, and definitely want him around as long as possible.
Tim Kelly, he could have a brand new reputation with Texans fans if he's part of the reason Deshaun Watson hangs around. I've called him a twig. I've called him a lingerer. I think he was dry. I do think he kind of spread his wings a little bit when B.O.B. left, when King Bill left, and he finally got away from King Bill after a decade of following him around. But all the stuff we've said about Tim Kelly, all the stuff we've said about these B.O.B. lingerers, if Tim Kelly hangs around, and that's part of the reason that number four stays, and that's really the only thing that we've heard Deshaun Watson say tangibly that he wants that's not secondhand. You want to talk about a repaired reputation. Tim Kelly, welcome to H-Town, man.
Well, or welcome back to H-Town.
Nah, I'm going to wipe it clean. I'm going to forget everything else. Forget
Bill O'Brien. He's just like a new guy.
A new start.
I truly just go back and forth on this. I don't want Tim Kelly to hang around. I want a clean slate. I want the new coach to bring in an offensive system that could suit Deshaun Watson better. And I get he had a great year. Don't get me wrong. His
they
best,
can't run the rock, though.
That's what I'm saying.
Is that systematic? Is that running back? Is that the offensive line coach? If you tell me that they can run the rock out of this system, I can believe it. But when I hear Wade Smith and Seth Payne talk about this system, you hear all this talk about how complex it is, how difficult it is, how hard it is on offensive linemen. If that's the case and Deshaun Watson just wants to be able to put up these statistics and lead the league in passing, that's kind of troubling to me. I'm hoping that maybe Mike Devlin getting his fat butt out of town and maybe a new running back, like better use of assets at running back position, improve it. But if this system is just preventing guys from running the rock, I don't know why you want to keep it around.
You can't have, and that's what I was going to say, that you can't have the same block run blocking scheme. It's just too much for these guys. I mean, I know Laremy Tunsil, the trade, you can criticize fairly because he was good, but he wasn't two first rounds good. But I think a lot of it is just that these guys have to do and recognize and change on the fly so much on the offensive line. Simplify it for the lineman, man. KISS. Yes, just
KISS.
Simplify it.
Keep it simple, stupid.
Yes,
and get Devlin out of here. Get Devlin out of here.
Simplify the
blinger, man.
Yeah, he is.
Linger.
Simplify the blocking assignments, and get a running back in here. If you do that, and Tim Kelly is capable, because keep in mind Tim Kelly was running these run plays. He had this offense, this Bill O'Brien offense that was like a physics project every time he snapped the ball for the offensive lineman. If he's capable of changing that, then I'll feel a little better. But I don't want that. I want a clean slate with a new offense and maybe a zone blocking scheme, something along those lines.
Maybe Tim Kelly stays and they do bring in a new system. Who knows? But it looks like Tim Kelly could be here per the request of Numero Cuatro, right? Numero Cuatro. Anthony Weaver, though, could be heading to Jacksonville to join Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer is interested in the Texans' defensive coordinator for the same position. Very interesting, because we both wanted Weaver to get another shot. Didn't think he got a fair shake from King Bill. King Bill kind of ignored the defense. Looks like Anthony Weaver could be going to Jacksonville to join Urban Meyer, Trevor Lawrence, and company. Here's a little snippet from the interview between Urban Meyer and Anthony Weaver.
Number one is effort. You demand effort. You don't coach effort. You demand it. You either do it or don't.
My guys play hard. They battle. They're doing the absolute best they can, and they leave everything they have on that football field to go out there and stone the run. And if that's ever questioned, then I'll resign. This narrative that's being painted like my guys are undisciplined and running around blocks, quite frankly, and if you put it bluntly, is bullshit.
He's got the same tone. The exact same tone.
Some fire.
Yeah.
Some absolute fire there. So Jacksonville could be adding Anthony Weaver. Tim Kelly staying with the Texans. The Colts going to need a new quarterback. Same song and dance for the Indianapolis Colts since Andrew Luck retired. Phillip Rivers calling it quits after 17 seasons. The San Diego Tribune was the first one with the news. John McClain, snappy, angry John McClain, wanted to make it clear that Ian Rapoport, report these nuts. You had nothing to do with it.
How you doing, John McClain?
I'm doing great, guys, and I'd like to point out something, please. Excuse me. The story on Phillip Rivers was broken by Kevin Acey, longtime Chargers beat writer for the San Diego Union Tribune. He gave him quotes. Of course, national guys are stealing it and acting like they had it.
So funny. So funny. That's the first thing that McClain talked about. He does that a lot. But, I mean, it is a cool story because you don't see beat guys getting the story anymore. But for McClain to go there, maybe he's talking about himself a little bit too.
Well,
get a little more. I mean, well, McClain breaks a lot of news.
Well, I don't know. We'll talk to him tomorrow. Going to pick his brain. It's going to be interesting. Might have a new coach tomorrow. Who knows?
I think we might have one today.
Who knows? Hey. Wouldn't mind it. Speaking of coaches, Aaron Glenn, former Houston Texan.
Oh, man, this made me happy.
Texas A&M Aggie. He is going to be a defensive coordinator in Detroit for Dan Campbell. D'Amico Ryan's already got his opportunity in San Francisco. He was promoted to D.C. by Kyle Shanahan and Robert Saleh left. Now Aaron Glenn gets a chance in Detroit. to be a defensive coordinator?
Absolutely one of my favorite people ever. He's been on in these studios multiple times before he went back into the league as a coach. Well-earned, well-deserved. Aaron Glenn is a legendary Texan. He's forgotten a lot of times, but probably the best player on the initial defenses that this team had. Was a Pro Bowler, the first Pro Bowler by the Houston Texans. And people forget, as bad as the Texans were early on in their existence, their defense was pretty darn good, and Aaron Glenn had a lot to do with that.
Doug Marrone, officially the O-line coach at Alabama. He goes and joins his BFF, King Bill O'Brien. Doug Peterson, Super Bowl-winning coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. He will take a year off. Clinton Shobin been talking about him being Eric Bieniemy's offensive coordinator.
He doesn't want to do that. He doesn't have to do that. He won a Super Bowl. He's going to get a job. He's playing this perfect. He's going to get a job in the NFL next year. I mean, no question about it. Let the fire settle down a little bit. He's got that resume. I know he's had some issues, but that'll be, if not forgotten, it'll be minimized. And he's going to be a head coach in the NFL next year. Great decision. He's still got his money. Just sit out and wait for them to come to you.
Do we know, are Eric Bieniemy and Doug Peterson tight? I know they worked in Kansas City when Peterson was the OC and QB coach and Bieniemy was the running back coach. That would just be weird.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know Bill O'Brien's probably having to swallow his pride a little bit and go to Alabama and be an O-line or an offensive coordinator and let Nick Saban tell him what to do. Doug Peterson coming here and being an offensive coordinator. First of all, I don't know if that would help his future as far as being a NFL head coach as much as sitting out, but I just find it hard to believe that Doug Peterson would say, I want to go be the offensive coordinator for Eric Bieniemy.
No, it wouldn't. It would hurt him. It would hurt him. He's playing this just right. He's going to sit out. People are going to remember him. He's going to probably be a public a little bit, maybe on TV a little bit. That always helps a guy's resume. I mean, no, he's doing this just right. He should have no interest in being a coordinator right now.
Yeah, he's going to chill, which lay low. Sometimes that works. Go out there and get you another job. The Rams, they hired a defensive coordinator, Raheem Morris. Happy for Raheem Morris. I thought he did a great job as interim coach of the Falcons. I want to see Raheem Morris eventually get another job as a head coach. I'm a big fan of him. I think he was probably just a little too young when he got his first opportunity. But Raheem Morris going to the Rams, working for Sean McVay, working with Aaron Donald, working with Jalen Ramsey. Very happy for Raheem Morris out there in Los Angeles. He replaces Brandon Staley, who took the job also in Los Angeles with the Chargers.
Very, very well respected. He is one of those guys that is going to be a head coach again, and deservedly so. And man, what a great place. We're a great place to go. I mean, we know what Brandon Staley got out of being DC with the Rams. Raheem Morris is already going to be ahead of the game.
A.J. Brown, Tennessee Titans. He did a little Instagram Live from his hospital bed.
He sure did.
Apparently, he had surgery on both knees. And apparently, he was supposed to miss significant time with the Tennessee Titans. Ended up making the Pro Bowl. Another good year for A.J. Brown, the best receiver in the AFC South. Here is what A.J. Brown had to say on Instagram Live, live from the hospital bed.
This is no talk, bro. Like, real talk, I'm going to be the best receiver in the NFL, bro. I really want some food. But
you'll be out of here soon.
Damn, that Coke.
It's probably because your throat's irritated from that tube going down your throat.
Y'all put a tube down my throat.
Well, you had to get put to sleep. How else you going to breathe in surgery? Knocked out. And I got your medicine already.
Medicine? What medicine am I using?
Pain medicine, nausea medicine. Who's your ride?
My dad.
Is he here?
Yeah.
Do you want him up here?
Nah, he gonna record me.
So you just wanna wait until we're ready to leave and we'll just meet him at the car?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll be back in a minute.
But yeah, look, I was sore all year. Nobody knew. They told me I was done for the year. Like in week two, I played all year. I ain't no making a Pro Bowl. Didn't know how I was gonna do it. I did it.
Man, he is still on that morphine, man.
That's exactly. Don't ever do this, man. Who knows what's going to come out of your mouth? And by the way, he didn't want his dad to come in and record him while he was recording himself live.
Yeah, I didn't understand that.
But here's what I got out of
that. He's a bad mofo, though.
Here's what I got out of that whole thing.
He's tough as hell.
How good is he going to be when he doesn't have two bad wheels?
Sick. 70 catches, 1,075 yards, 11 touchdowns this year. He's going to be nice.
On two bad wheels.
We've known that for a while. He is going
to
be
nice. He's Andre Johnson, man.
It's a problem. He's a serious problem for the AFC South, for the Houston Texans, twice a year. Got to say goodbye to a legend, George Springer. Happy for him. 6 years, $150 million for the Toronto Blue Jays. I don't think any play in recent memory in Houston sports ignited the stadium, the bar that you were at, hell, your own couch, than a leadoff Springer dinger. Nothing made you feel happier than that. He was the catalyst. He was one of the main building blocks of the recent run of Astros baseball. Never took a playoff. My God, could he get in some slumps, but my God, could he get hot. The 2017 World Series MVP, very happy for George Springer getting that six-year, 150 milli from the Toronto Blue Jays.
Best leadoff hitter the Astros have ever had. You mentioned 2017. Of all the highlights and memories and just moments that just immediately come to mind, I go back to 2017, man. Divisional round, AL championship round. I was in line. I mean, I think most people were in line with, man, what is going on? You got to get him out of the top spot. You got to give him a couple of days off. You say you weren't, but you're lying.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I didn't want him out of the top spot.
We did disagree on that.
Frustrating, though.
And then he's MVP. That tells you all you need to know about. He just kept on going, how good he was, how clutch he was.
Yeah, he was the man. One thing he couldn't do, he wasn't very good at parade speeches after the World Series. Probably not his best work. Here was George Springer after he won the 2017 World Series MVP out there downtown.
Back when we got beat by New York in New York that we weren't supposed to win, right? How'd that work out? I got told before Game 7 apparently we didn't have a chance. How'd that work out? But I just want to thank every single person here, every person in the city, every person in the state of Texas that believed in our team.
It's all right, George. We still love
you. Guys.
More news on the Astros front. This one hurts a little bit more. I was anticipating Springer being gone. I was holding on hope that Michael Effin Brantley would be back as well. However, he gets to deal with the Blue Jays. So, BFFs, bros, taking their talents from H-Town up to Canada. I just got one request from my man Michael Effin Brantley and my man George Springer. Courtesy of Chris Berman, go ahead and hook your boy up. I know you're going to be in Canada. I know you're coming to H-Town. Georgie and Michael Effin Brantley, hook me up.
For the Colts and Rams, I mean, right?
Awful. I saw this on the schedule, Jets during the Christmas holiday. I took four deux at 6 o'clock, knowing what this four. Would be. You know what a deux is? It's Canadian aspirin with a little bit of codeine in it. You know, just enough to give you that pop. Two is deux. I mean, you buy it over the counter up there, you can't hear. It's like $10 up there, but it's like $100 prescription here. So you put it in all the corners of your suitcase. Do you have anything to declare? Oh, no. Eh? Duh. You always hope to have one Blue Jay game a year. You have those bottles, 250, you know, count of 222s? Yes, here they are. I'll take four of them. And they go, they always go, from the States, eh? Duh. You never take duh. The late percent Cody never hurt anybody.
Oh, my goodness.
Hook your boy up, George.
Berman.
Hook your boy up.
He's popping those did.
Tonight in the NBA, the Golden Child back in action. James Harden. The Nets taking on the Cavs in Cleveland. James Harden has scored or assisted on 129 points through two games with the Nets. That's the most in a player's first two games in NBA history. Don't know how it happened. But James Harden is suddenly one of the most beloved guys in the NBA. They're loving what they're seeing up there in Brooklyn.
Swag!
How did that happen?
I don't know.
Because the whole league, it wasn't just like people in Houston that were around him a lot.
I don't know.
Is it a bias? Not a bias against Houston per se, but that they just thought he had hit his ceiling here or something?
That's what they said. Rockets in action as well. 4-8 Rockets against the Suns. You're getting some people taking you to task on saying George Springer is the best leadoff hitter the Astros have ever had. Of course, Craig Biggio is the one that comes up. You covered Craig Biggio. You know Craig Biggio.
I know Craig Biggio very, very well.
State your case.
I have for years said Biggio is the greatest leadoff hitter that this team has ever had. He's not anymore. Doesn't make him bad.
There you go.
Doesn't mean he stinks.
There you go.
Springer was better.
There you go.
Certainly more clutch.
There you go.
In a shorter amount of time, had more leadoff home runs.
And now George Springer is teammates with Craig Biggio's son. How does that make you feel, John?
Well, have you seen the roster?
Yeah.
They have, is it Gudiel's brother?
They have Gudiel's brother.
Kevin Biggio.
They have Vlad Guerrero Jr. They have Dante Bichette's son.
And now Springer, it's like Astros North.
Yeah, it's a lot of emotion going on there. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Is Bieniemy out as Texans head coach? There are context clues. And in this fluid process, myself and the OG are leaning towards defense over offense. Lay it out for you next.
I'm running it like Eric Bieniemy back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.